From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is Carlo Pasquese, better known as Lowbounce. A young up-and-comer in the Chicago dubstep scene, Pasquese's self-described drippy bass is sweeping the Windy City. His debut full-length entitled Bounce Town is a fuzzy frolic through the imaginary bass town of his daydreams. Let's get to the interview. You're a relative newcomer to the scene, so let's learn a bit about your background. Are you originally from Chicago?
I am, born and raised.
Yeah, and did you grow up playing instruments?
Oh, yeah. That was actually a huge part of the reason I became, you know, a professional musician. In Chicago, it made it really easy for people to connect, you know, especially it's kind of difficult just being a random guitar player out there in the ether. And that's how I started, with playing guitar and blues and funk bands forever, and kind of getting the local network of the Chicago musician scene was really a helpful tool being a young kid, you know, learning what I like and don't like, what I want to do. You know, it was a pretty accessible group of people, and I don't think that's too prevalent anywhere else. You know, other big cities over whatever, 3 million people, it's not really as neighborhoody as Chicago might be, and that was a great tool to have growing up trying to get my feet, you know what I mean?
And so what kind of music was it that you were playing? You mentioned a little bit of maybe the blues scene in Chicago. Were you also in that sort of larger jam network, basically in the jam scene growing up and playing music with all sorts of people throughout the city? And then maybe that was the style of music that was informing your playing?
Yeah, I mean, the jam scene definitely played a huge role in shaping my taste musically. And you know, I was listening, everybody listens to the Grateful Dead, and Chicago's a huge Deadhead town. Of course, that's where I came from, and kind of doing the whole bluegrass folk movement. To listen to Jerry Garcia play guitar gives a guitar player ideas about how to play his guitar better, or, you know, in different ways that might express a certain dynamic a little more effectively. And the jam scene played a huge part in kind of shaping the dynamic range that I've grown accustomed to in my own music. So it's been on the surface and super popular, and also, you know, the underground scene just as strong of an influence on everybody, I think. But the blues and the funk always overpowered the jam for wherever I was at, for one reason or another. And that kind of just overrode everything and took the reins of my life. And I just fell right into the blues.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Tell me about your first forays into beat making then. How did you become introduced to electronic music and then say, hey, I want to do this?
Oh, wow. It's kind of a whole whirlwind of over 1 year. I basically got introduced to like techno and party electronic, and just kind of the bubblegum techno is what I would call it probably.
Okay.
And that, you know, it didn't necessarily turn me off, but I wasn't super thrilled with the whole prospect, and I kind of brushed electronic to the side as a genre itself, and didn't really take it very seriously. I was into doing the singer-songwriter thing, Jack Johnson, John Mayer style. But yeah, so when my first encounter with electronic, I kind of just dismissed it. It was not a very in-depth experience. So I can't say I regret that, but it brought me back to when I heard electronic later in that year. I kind of revisited it, and I heard Rezo scream and bang and go, you know, the first time everybody hears the, you know, the Dub Police, your jaw just drops and go, oh, okay, that's what I've been looking for this whole time.
That's what electronic music can be.
Right. Well, it's just, you know, to hear something like that, you realize how totally malleable music is when you use a computer to produce it. It's just a whole nother animal that can be whatever you want. It's like Play-Doh, you know what I mean? You can shape it in any particular way you want it to. And there's no rules with Play-Doh. There's no rules with electronic music. It's fantastic, you know? So coming from the band structure over to this DJ producer world was just an incredible transition. It hit me right in the face, and I was 1,000 miles an hour, just heavy into it, and I never really looked back up. I've kind of had my head down since then. But yeah, I guess it was pretty much like a one day change my opinion sort of thing, and then I just just never stopped.
So tell me, what's the scene like in Chicago? To most outsiders, it maybe doesn't seem like there's a cohesive Chicago sound besides maybe that Smash Mouth cabinet rattling bass sound.
Yeah, I mean, the Chicago scene, we've been doing a whole lot here, and it's been really cool to see it become a little more mainstream now, and the crowd's changing and getting a little more refined, a little more intelligent. And so I can weed out a dime a dozen producer tracks, you know, from the really good music. And that's been really helpful, because a lot of what came up in Chicago is that Chicago house, Chicago juke, that, you know, two-steppy sort of, I don't even know what to call that. It's like a shuffly kind of beat. It's just goofy and like it's a little bit novelty. Not to discredit any of it, but it's just not my scene particularly. So what's been nice to see over the last year and a half, 2 years, is dubstep especially has gone super mainstream. People are coming out and supporting cats like Eskimo and Vibe Squad and Heyoka, and just these super brilliant producers that really have an original take on music in general. And instead of a novelty, like, theme party, you know what I mean? It was like 80s prom night, and then techno night was like how it went at the bars. Now it's like a musical experience where, you know, it's a headliner and like any other concert. And that's where I've been wanting it to go, and that's where it is now, and it's a fantastic scene. Everybody's making it easy, too. Kids are great. Promoters are fantastic. It's just the friendliest, coolest scene out here, at least in my experience.
Wildlife from Low Bounce's new album, Bounce Town. You've described your own sound as drippy bass. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Sure. Drippy bass, something I came up with when I was listening to my own tracks, and it sounds weird, and I like never try and, you know, think about myself. It's just goofy. But when I was listening to this album, you know, getting it ready for packaging and making sure I had everything in the right order and the track listing and everything, the thing that I like the most when I go to a show or when I listen to another producer is the imagery that their soundscape or their production gives me. You know, the visual element of my imagination is what really like sets me off when I'm listening to other people's music. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took a step back and listened to my own sound, and I realized it sounds like what I like most about the rest of the music industry or the scene or the daily life. And it's the drippy sort of melting. It's a really subtle churning sound that I see in my head as a bunch of drips of honey or molasses, just sticky, slow, deliberate drops, and they're all fat and rich and super textured. And that's kind of what I see when I listen to these tracks, and my production style seems to reflect the drip pretty well to me.
And I think that's absolutely accurate. And in other tracks I've heard from yours, in addition to that sort of drippy sound, maybe on tracks like Spintendo and maybe more recently Wildlife from Bouncetown, it appears you've also experimented with a bit of that chiptune or chip step sound, that sort of that lo-fi fuzziness that also goes along with the drippiness, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pointed out Wildlife. That's a great example of that. That was used very deliberately to kind of give that lo-fi feel. It's like an old school tube amplifier sort of overdrive that you get out of listening to a lot of old blues and funk, when the guitar tones from any old blues or funk record is sort of what I was going for in emulation for the bass on Wildlife. But that's interesting that you point that out, and nobody's noticed that so far. Good eye, man. Good ear.
Thanks. So with this album, tell me a bit about your process. Because that bass sound of yours is so fully developed and you have such a signature sound, is that where you go first, or do you start with the beats, or are you a melody guy since you come from that guitar world? Do you start with maybe a synth line?
Well, as far as writing each track, in general, I like to start with the drums. If you can nail the drums, you can build a track around that any day. plus I have the least experience in my background with percussion. So it's definitely the most challenging element of production for me. So I like to kind of formulate a nice percussive idea first and then expand on that. The drums say so much about the feel of the track. So to really nail your idea first and then flesh it out is basically how I think about it. For Bounce Town, most of the tracks started with drums. And then a good friend of mine once said that the best tracks are tracks that write themselves. And pretty much every track on Bounce Town is just a daydream that I had. The melodies and bass lines, everything just was already there. And it was really easy for me to just basically transpose that from my imagination. That was the easiest part. The drums, though, is basically the work of the track. And then other than that, it's all already finished, just repeating an idea that I have.
Duddy from Low Bounce right here on the UNS podcast.
When you step back and you take a look at Bounce Town as a whole, is there a particular message or mood that you were trying to convey with this release? Is this your love letter to Chicago?
Wow. I feel that every release, especially with Bounce Town, every release is a completely separate idea from the last. I think Bounce Town is a collection of daydreams that I had over a two-month period about this magical bass place called Bounce Town. And it's honestly just a direct reflection in my imagination. I've tried to write tracks about specific things and being like, you know, going to the studio and being like, okay, I'm going to write a track about Chicago today. And I find that whatever's rolling around in my head just ends up coming out anyway. So I just kind of give in to the imagination and let it take over.
I know the artwork for the album, I got a sneak peek of it. It was a well-kept secret for a while, but I got to see it in advance. And it's this beautifully done concept by Chicago-based artist Jason Brammer. Is there any way that you can put into words what that artwork means to you and how it comes across and just how it really absolutely conveys your concept of Bounce Town?
That's a great question. Jason and I ended up linking up a little while ago through my manager, Cody Meltzer, from Opson Creative here in Chicago. And Jason and I really kind of hit it off. We think a lot alike. We ended up having long conversations before he started on the piece. And it turned out that we end up arriving at ideas in a very similar manner, which is pretty astonishing. Our minds work a lot alike. And so for the piece, I, you know, after getting to know him for a while and getting to know me, I sent him a copy of the album and I said, this is Bounce Town. You know, I describe my style as trippy bass. This is what it sounds like. Whatever you see in your head, paint that on a canvas. And he basically just came up with the piece himself. It was a very natural, hands-off approach. I just gave him the music and let him interpret it the way he wanted. And I had a, you know, total 100% faith in his ideas because he's just a brilliant artist. JasonBrammer.com is the most unbelievable gallery. But yeah, you know, I stepped back. I said, here's the album. Listen to it. Whatever you see in your mind, just draw it up. And he did. And it's a perfect representation of that sort of unattainable daydream. It's just right there at the tip of your tongue, sort of just right off in the distance. But the richness and the flavor is expressed right up front, really bold and beautiful. And I thought it came together perfectly. Genius.
No question that he was able to paint a visual version of your audio sound. It's really magnificent.
Yeah, I think it's one of the coolest pieces of art that I've ever seen, especially knowing the background. This is inspired by these sounds. This is what the album looks like, and that was just amazing to see it translated that way.
Keep forgetting from Low Bounce. Let's wrap up the interview.
I have to apologize in public for this. UNS senior contributor Natty Morrison and I were supposed to catch you live opening up for Nit Grit last weekend, and we completely missed your set, and I'm apologizing now for it. Is there any way you can maybe capture your live show with words? I mean, you're very active behind the controls during your sets. Is there a particular flow you like to set up with your gear and controllers? Are you literally doing everything on the fly? Tell me what I missed, essentially.
Wow, okay, man. Well, first of all, just like the Godfather, you owe me a favor now.
Exactly.
So I can call upon you whenever I wish for whatever I like.
You're absolutely right.
As far as the live show goes, it's a blast, man. The Lowbounce live show is always a rowdy party. As far as electronics go, there's a lot of live electronics, live processing, mixing of multiple channels. It's pretty nuts. I keep myself real busy or else I get bored. I've kind of gotten my gear set up now. I have a Lemur, Jazz Mutant Lemur controller, and that's a great addition to the family. And then some button grids, some MPDs, bigger fingers, just a bunch of live instrumentation, a bunch of live sampling, plenty of mixing, and a whole nother world of ridiculousness going on the Lemur. That's just that's really opened everything up with my imagination. Being able to touch the sound is pretty fantastic. And man, you just got to come to the show next time, check it out, and get down.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder, as a young artist coming up through the ranks, you've had to appear in support of several big names. You've opened for Bass Nectar. You opened for Knit Grit. Is there a mind frame you have to put yourself in when you're not the headliner but a supporting act? Or is it just Lowbounce all day long? That's all you're thinking about and that's all you're doing?
Well, like I say, I hate to think about myself. It's just really uncomfortable for me. So whenever I have a show, you know, like that, opening up for somebody like Bass Nectar, you know, the honor of doing that was enough in itself. I just like to have a good time, and I want to make sure everybody out there is having as much fun as me. So this music means the world to me, and it can really change my state of mind, and I hope to do that for everyone else and get everybody feeling good. And my entire set is improvised. I don't have a set list. I don't have pre-configured transitions. There's no pressing play, really, and just leaving it go. Everything is on the fly. So if you're not having fun, I'm going to know, and I'm going to change it up and make you dance. And so there's a 100% possibility that you're going to get down at one of the Lowbounce shows.
That's the right attitude. So Bounce Town is out. Do you have a tour planned in support? What's next for you?
Bounce Town's out. Yeah, there's a whole myriad of dates being thrown around. Don't want to get ahead of myself and start announcing shows, but there should be a tour going on here in late March, April, May, all through the summer. It's going to be nonstop, so I'll definitely be in your city.
And you're going to be hitting the festival circuit as well. I see you already starting to pop up on some lists.
Oh yeah, the festivals we're going to be at every one of the festivals. The Chi-Town crew, definitely peeping Lowbounce sets out at pretty much every major festival. We're going to hope to crash onto these main stages, and if not, get some support and do maybe some guerrilla bass. We're not too sure yet, but we'll see you there.
You got to get a generator and some subs and get out in the middle of the woods where the crazies are camping.
We did it last year, dude. We drove around and we actually tore the sound system out of the Kinetic Playground here in Chicago. And we took it around to Sonic Boom and Summer Camp and a couple other big festies. And we just set up, we were touring with the Grassroots Cats, Grassroots California. And we would just set up rogue stages and just blast bass. It was so fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carlo Pasquese, thank you so much for being on the Uns podcast. And you know, I owe you a favor.
Thanks for having me, man.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Uns podcast. Special thanks go to Cody Meltzer of Opsin Creative. And of course, my guest, Carlo Pasquese. Bounce Town is out now. Grab it for free at lowbounce.com. And also stay tuned to theunce.com for Lowbounce dates. He's coming to your town. Coming up next week, the Polish ambassador will be on the program. This DIY producer has been doing things his own way for years, self-producing 5 albums. Now, he's got a shot at the big time, getting signed by 1320 Records. Remember to visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. There are also some great contests going on now at theunce.com. You could win tickets to Ultra Music Festival, Summer Camp, or Vibe Squad and Artie.
go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's ANAND @theunts.com. Catch you next week.